All right. Hey, well, good morning, guys. Hey, it's good to be with you all. It's a pleasure to be up here with you. As Mark said, my name is Robbie. I'm the youth and family pastor here. It's good to connect with you all. And Jeff, hey, great kids minute. Coach JJ, I should say, man. Coach JJ. So anyway, as Mark said, we're starting this new series, Prayers of Paul. It's I call it a pause within a pause. Maybe if you've ever seen Inception, it's like Pauseception. But we are excited to be with you guys this morning, starting this new series. And I don't know if some of you guys may not know this or not, but recently my wife and I, we just recently got into a new house. And yeah, that's exciting, right? It's super cool. We were jazzed about it. We couldn't wait. And we moved into this house, and we quickly realized we don't know anything about how to take care of a house. Right? We were excited and we moved in. We're like, oh man, there's a lot of work we got to do, right? And there's really great house we moved in. And I think one of the things that we realized, right, was especially about like taking care of a yard, right? And I don't know if any of you are like landscapers by trade or good at working out in the yard, maybe don't tell me that for the next year because I will be blowing up your phone, right? Keep out the DL. But I remember we walk in, when we first moved into our house, it was like a lush backyard, right? It was like perfect, like, oh my gosh, this is great. Like, man, we hit the jackpot with this yard. And then we moved in, right? All of a sudden in that month, like the grass just was like Jumanji, right? It was huge. And then I trimmed it down a little bit and found out there was a lot of like, that when it got laid down before, there was some sod that got laid down, but it didn't get laid down quite correctly. And so, like, the grass died in, like, a week. And I was like, okay, not off to a great start, but that's all right. You know, I was feeling optimistic. And then I was out one day. I was working on my deck, just enjoying the sunshine. And my neighbor leans over. If you've ever seen, what was that, Home Improvement, that show? He leans over and goes, oof. That's rough. I'm like, I hadn't formally like met him yet. That was our introduction. I was like, wow, that bad, huh? I think that's what I said. He goes, dude, I'm so sorry. And he's like, I'm Carl, by the way. I'm like, I'm Robbie. Is this how you introduce yourself to everybody? And so we were chatting, and he's like, actually, he goes, I'm a landscaper. I don't know if you know this. He goes, I'm a landscaper by trade. You cool if I just come over and take a look at your yard? I said, Carl, by all means, like, come on over. And so he came over and he's walking around and he's giving me all of these tips, right? He's like, oh, well, if I were you, this is what I would do. This is what I would do. He's like, okay, do you have this tool? He says, no, assume I have nothing, Carl. He's like, okay, get this, buy these things, do this. And I was eating it up. I was like, man, and he's like, if you ever need help, I'm just next door. Come talk to me. He says, oh, believe me, I will. And we were, and it was great. And it actually, me and him have bonded pretty well over that, right? Talking about, taking care of the yard, doing those kind of things. And it was just cool because, like I said, when we came into this house, we were really excited. We love our house. It's a cute little place, and we're just so grateful for it. But really quickly, we realized there's a lot we didn't know, right? We didn't know what we didn't know. And we saw this yard, and we quickly realized, man, we need some help. Right, and Carl came along and was really helpful and gave us some pointers and really gave us some guidance and what we could do to take care of it. And I bring this up, right, not just to like, I'm not trying to elicit like landscaping help or anything like that, but I think the reason I bring this up, right, is because I think that when we talk about, right, we're starting this series on prayer, and I think most of us, if not all of us in here, recognize, just like me and my wife recognize the importance of taking care of a house or the importance of maintaining our yard and our property, I think most of us in here understand the importance of our prayer life, right? We understand how important that is, and especially about, man, how to maintain it and grow it, right? How to really flourish in our prayer life. And maybe just like me with my yard, maybe some of us are like, I want to grow, but I don't really know how. I really want to kind of really be better about praying for others. I really want to be better about praying even for myself, or, man, being better at how do I worship God through my prayer life. And I want to be better, but maybe I don't quite know what to do next. I don't really quite know how I can grow, how I can be better in my prayer life. And I think, one of the gifts that we have in Scripture is that we have some really amazing prayer warriors that their prayers got recorded. And we get to look at these as prayers that kind of God's stamp of approval on us, saying, man, this heart that was in prayer, that these prayers, the way these people prayed, the things they prayed for were pleasing to me, that they are honoring and pleasing to me. And we get a chance to kind of look at them and learn from them. And so my hope is for these next 3 weeks is we get a chance to look at some of these prayers that Paul prayed. Look at the people he prayed for. Look for the way that he prayed for them. Even looking at the way he prayed for himself and the way that he worshiped the Lord in his prayers, and say, how can we learn from that? What are some things, you know, just like I kind of learned from taking care of my yard, what are some tools we can put in our spiritual toolbox to help us grow in our prayer life? And really, and even just have us flourish in our own relationship with God, our relationship with other people. And so we're going to be kind of doing a deep dive into that over these next few weeks. And so I'm really excited to do this with you guys. And if you're tuning in online, I'm really glad you're tuning in with us for this as well. And this morning, I want to specifically, we're going to take this morning and talk about, how did Paul pray for other people? Right? When he would get down on his knees and he would pray for other people, how would he pray for them? Right? What did he do in those times of prayer for other people? What were some of the things that really kind of came to the forefront for him? And how can we learn from that? And so this morning, I want to look at a specific prayer that I feel like captures really well a lot of the elements that went on Paul's other prayers. We're going to be looking at a prayer that came out of 1 Thessalonians. So if you got your Bible with you, we're going to be starting there. So 1 Thessalonians 3, starting in verse 9. And I think it's important to understand that kind of where this prayer is happening. And I think a lot of prayers that Paul prays, right, kind of, you see a lot of them, there was some drama or controversy or something that was really intense that was happening in some of the, in a lot of these prayers, right? And specifically in this prayer, that Paul is praying to a group who's experiencing some really severe persecution. And these are people that he loves and he cares about. And so he has this really amazing time where he's praying for these believers who in this town of Thessalonica. And so I want us to kind of, as we're looking at this, I want us to be thinking about, man, what are some of the key elements that are in this prayer, but also be looking at it and saying, man, what is, as we're kind of seeing this prayer, we're reading this prayer together, kind of pay attention to Paul's heart for these people. What's motivating this prayer? So if we can just kind of, there you go. You can beat me to it, man. So this is how, in this moment, right, this is how Paul prays for the Christians in Thessalonica. He says, how we thank God for you. Because of you, we have a great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. May God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. So first, I think what's really important, before we kind of pick this apart a little bit and look at some of the different elements that went into this, and I want to ask to kind of think, man, what was kind of Paul's main motivation, right? When Paul would sit down and pray for others, and that, like I said, this prayer is kind of encapsulates and captures a lot of, we see a lot of common elements in other prayers, and so we look at this and I think we could ask, man, what were some of the things that fueled Paul's prayers? Like when he would pray for other people, what was it that moved him for that? And when you look at all these different prayers for others, you see there's really four main things that really jump out to me. Is one, really clearly you see his love for Jesus. And, you know, it's pretty obvious that, man, Paul was someone who loved Jesus and was passionate about how much he loved Jesus. But he was also someone that really, really loved people. Right? Over and over again in his prayers, you see Paul's like, man, we're praying this, we're doing this because of our great love for you. And how much it pained Paul whenever he had to leave a place, right? Because he really cared about those people. So whenever he's praying, you see this love for Jesus. You see this great love for people. You also see this really great desire for others to know Jesus. You see this great desire for others to grow in their faith. And I think before we kind of jump into those, like the really detailed elements of, okay, what were some of those cool aspects, those things that we can learn from? I think I want to bring this up because as we, I think one of the most important things we can learn is being aware of our own heart when we go into prayer, right? When we're praying for others, I think it's important for us to say, is to be aware of, okay, God, like, why, you know, what is my motivation for prayer? Why am I bringing this, you know, checking our own, like, yes, are Jesus, are we praying out of a love for you? Do we, you know, do we really have a deep passion for the people we're praying for? And what I think what we learn from Paul is being aware of our own motives, being aware of our own heart, checking our, examining our own heart as we go in to pray. So let's dive in a little bit more. Like, let's look at some of these elements, right? That when we think about what were some of the things that when we look at Paul's prayer that were evident in his prayers, right? What were some of the things that we see that really kind of stick out in these? And this is, you know, one of the first ones we see is understanding that, like we kind of mentioned, that Paul really took time to pray for other people's relationship with Jesus. Right? And we see it here, but, you know, and especially in Romans 10:1, we see that Paul, you know, he's praying for other people that he, when he would pray for others, if they didn't know Jesus, right, if they didn't have a relationship with Jesus, he really spent a lot of time saying, man, I pray that this person, that this group of people come to know Jesus. You know, in Romans 10, when he talks about how he's praying for his fellow Israelites and his fellow Jews, and he says, dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. And so we see this really key element of, like, that he, his primary concern, his deep concern is other people's relationship with Jesus. And so he spends a lot of time with that. And then for those that he knows that he know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, he spends a lot of time thanking what God is doing in their life. All right, I thought that was really fascinating. Not just thanking, like, little personality quirks, like, man, I'm really thankful this person makes me laugh. Or, like, man, I'm really thankful for, you know, oh, I'm really thankful for this person's outfit style. Like, man, that's really, it's really inspiring. I just want to, you know, I want to do that. But he specifically says, man, I'm thankful for what God is doing in that person's life. I'm really thankful for seeing how God is moving this person to be more hospitable, or how God is moving this person to be more generous. Right, he would pray these things. You know, I think just this past fall, I got to go on my first fall retreat with the youth group. And it was, you know, this is one of those retreats that got talked up a lot, that people kept telling me, man, this is so exciting. We're so glad you get to go on this trip with us. You get to experience this. And, you know, typically, like, when you go on a retreat, if you ask, like, a high schooler or middle schooler, what are they excited for, right? It's usually things like, if we go in the summer, like, dude, I can't wait to go on the inner tubes. Dude, I can't wait to go do all this other fun stuff. But the thing that kept coming up, and on this retreat, there's an exercise called affirmations. And everyone kept telling me, like, man, I can't wait for you to be part of this. Like, this is such a powerful moment. And essentially what it is kind of boiling it down just to kind of give a real brief overview. It's that on our fall retreat, the high schoolers kind of get together and we go around in a circle and we'll share kind of, you know, during that retreat, kids will get some alone time with God for an hour or two. And that night we come back, share what we kind of learned from that. But then we'll allow in that circle, two or three students will get to share, hey, this is how I see God working in your life. This is what I see God doing in your life. And it's so encouraging. Right, and it was so powerful for me to sit in that circle and hear other kids share this about students, hear other kids share it about leaders. And I think in a lot of sense, Paul's kind of doing something similar here. A lot of his prayers, he's taking time to say, man, I just want you to know how thankful I am for what God is doing in your life. I see evidence of this in your life, and I'm just so, so thankful for that. And so we see this element of thankfulness really playing out. But then he says, man, I pray for spiritual growth, right? That he prays for not that, hey, I see evidence of God working your life this way, man, and I pray that God keeps fanning that in the flame. Man, I pray that that grow like wildfire. One of my favorite prayers comes out of Ephesians 3, and it's this prayer, it's this beautiful prayer. I actually just want to read it out to you right now, and it starts in Ephesians 3, verse 14. And Paul says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down in God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So for me, you know, my first encounter with this was I went on a prayer retreat a couple years ago just by myself, which is a scary exercise when you're a big extrovert, I realize. When you're like, hey, I'm going to go be by myself for 48 hours, right? And if you know me, like, I'm very extroverted, right? I love being around people. And so when you tell me you're going to be by yourself, that scared me. I kind of kept getting images of, like, Castaway, right? I'm going to go away, and I'm going to come home with a volleyball as my best friend. And I was so nervous. But I remember I went on this retreat, and I kind of went on thinking that this was going to be a retreat about, I'm going to go come back, all these different youth group ideas. And I think the thing that God spoke to me is like, no, what I want most for you is to know how much I love you. And I want you to pray this for other people. Like, that's what I want most for you, is to pray that other people recognize how much God loves them and for them to, and for that to keep growing in their life. And I think for me, when I read this, and you know, coming away from that, one of the practices that I've kind of started implementing in my life is, you know, different days of the week I pray this prayer over different people in my life. That, like, on Tuesdays I'll pray this over my family, like, hey God, pray that, you know, my wife and my daughter and my mom and dad and my brother will know that God loves them. Like, on Wednesdays before youth group, I try to spend some time. I go through our list of students. And I just pray this, hey God, pray that each of these students will know and will continue to grow and knowing how much God loves them, right? And so it's kind of come this really powerful thing that I think God has kind of convicted me of and challenged me to really incorporate into my life. And I think Paul, like I said, Paul is kind of doing the same thing where he's praying for them, like, hey, not only am I thankful for what God's doing in your life, but I'm going to pray that that keeps growing. I'm going to pray that that continues to grow and grow and grow. So he prays for those, but then you also, in his prayers, you see this element of an overflow of love. You know, Philippians 9, he talks about, he prays that their love, that their knowledge and love of God will just overflow. That the love of God in their life will overflow to the point where it impacts the people around them. And I kind of got to see this on display on, you know, kind of, and unfortunately, going to a couple memorials of friends of mine that passed away way too soon, right? And while that's a sad moment, I got to sit in a room where, in a memorial where it was standing room only, right? And people flocked there because these people loved Jesus really well, and they loved other people really well. And the thing that kept coming out as people were sharing that was that, man, this person really made me feel loved, right? This person, you could tell this person loved Jesus by the way they treated me and the way they treated complete strangers. And I think in a lot of ways, what Paul's desire is, like, man, he wants that for our life, right? He wants people to know Jesus just by knowing how well that they're loved. For us to have that overflow of love spill out in the lives of other people around us. And so in a lot of his prayers, he prays like, hey, I pray that the love in your life will overflow and will impact the people around you. And then he prays for strength and encouragement, right? He prays that, hey, I think Paul recognizes, especially as he's praying with some of these people who are going through really, really difficult things, man, I pray that you don't give up. I know it's easy to give up. I know it feels easy just to say, you know what, I'm done. I'm gonna hang up the cleats, right? But he says, no, I pray that you keep going. I pray that you keep on this journey. Don't give up. Don't, you know, keep going. You know, I used to always, how many cross-country runners do we have in here, by the way? Maybe long-distance runners, maybe some of you. So I actually used to run in high school. It didn't start off because I wanted to. My baseball coach told me I was out of shape. And so I started running in cross country, but I actually kind of grew to like it. And one of the things that my coach would always tell us is, you don't think about it, but cross country is actually kind of a team sport, right? Because when the varsity team's running, the JV will go and they'll spread out along the course. And it's, you know, the course is wild, right? It is like, You're usually running through like part of a trail or a forest, and you got to be really in shape. But you also got to watch out. Like one time, I actually ran into a tree, which was not a highlight of my cross country career. It was like my first practice. My coach was like, "What happened?" I'm like, "I ran into a tree." He's like, "You know those are stationary, right?" I'm like, "I know, but it still happened." And so they would set me up on a, they would tell us, "Hey, there's always part of a course where you have a giant hill or something really intense." And he would tell a team like, "Hey, when you're not running, go stand in those places and cheer on your teammates, because those are going to be the points in the race when they want to give up. Right? Those are going to be the points in the race when they're tired and they just want to just throw in the towel and say, you know what, I'll walk. This is harder. You know what? I'm going to go to Dairy Queen. I'm done." All right. And he says, "I want you to," and so he would say, "be loud, be encouraging." And in a lot of ways, I think Paul would do these things. He'd write these letters to people that are entering a part of their journey, their spiritual journey that was hard. And he's saying, "Hey, don't give up. Please, please, please don't give up." And he'd pray these things. So we see all this, right? Maybe this right now today feels like drinking from a fire hose. You're like, "Oh my gosh, that's a lot." And here's what I want to say. I want to ask the question, right? How can we, when we look at Paul, right, how can learning from him impact our prayer life, right? How can we learn to grow from the prayers of Paul, right? That's ultimately what we're talking about throughout these next few weeks, right? How can we grow? And specifically today, how can we grow in how we pray for other people? Right? How can we grow in those ways? And I think, and so, and when we look at Paul's prayers, he would typically pray for two different audiences, right? He would say, here's how he would pray if he knew people didn't know Jesus, weren't following Jesus. Like, here's how I'd pray for you. And then those who did follow Jesus. I think across the board, right, when we see this generally, Paul would totally pray for people's needs. And I think that the encouragement for us is, man, when we think about how we pray for people who know Jesus or don't know Jesus, and praying for people's needs is totally legit, totally valid, right? If someone says, "Man, I'm really struggling with this, can you pray for that?" Like, man, we should honor that, and we should actually pray for that. But when we think about those who don't follow Jesus, one of the things that Paul would always make sure, he's like, "Man, that was praying for their relationship, right? Praying for them that they would come to know Jesus was something that he prayed for fervently, and he prayed for a lot, and it said that he pray for them frequently, right?" And it's not, and it wasn't, when we look at his motivation, right, we talked about a little bit earlier, it was never from a place of, "Man, I hope they get their stuff figured out," or, "Hey, I hope this person," like, it was always from a place of love. It's like, "Man, I really, really hope, like, I love and care about them, and I pray that they will come to know Jesus, and that they'll experience the love of Jesus." And he said he prayed for them day and night. He prayed for them frequently, and he prayed for them with a lot of love in his heart. So that's how when we look at those prayers. But then, how did he pray for people who did follow Jesus, right? And what can we learn from that? And I think one of the things is for us is practicing thanking God for other people, how God is working through other people in our life. Right? I know JJ was telling us about coaches, right? Maybe thinking of, say, who are some people in our life that we need to thank God for? Right? Who are some people that we need to pause and say, "God, I'm just so thankful for what you're doing for this person, how you've worked through this person to bless my life." Right? Who's someone that, you know, praying for the strength and encouragement, right? That we all probably know somebody, maybe even ourselves, but who's someone that we know in our life that needs strength and encouragement? Who's someone in our life that we know that we could be praying for spiritual growth? You know, who's someone in our life that we know that we could be praying that love would overflow in their life? And then how do we build times in our week to pray for them regularly, right? Paul a lot of times would use the words pray day and night. I don't think he meant like literally nonstop, like just no matter what, you're praying all day. But what I think what Paul would do is he had regular times that he would pray throughout the day. And he says, "Man, whenever I sit down for that time that I'm praying, man, I'm praying for you." And he would remind people of that. And so that's kind of my encouragement today, guys, is as we kind of wrap up this first week, I want us to be asking ourselves, how is the Holy Spirit nudging us to grow in how we pray for other people? And who are the people that God is putting on our heart to pray for? And my challenge would be this week is maybe it's that prayer out of Ephesians 3:14. Maybe it's the prayer we just looked at in Thessalonians. But maybe something I would encourage you to do is pick one of those prayers that really sticks out to you and pray that over somebody this week. Someone that God's really put in your heart. Say, you know what, I'm going to pray over this person. I'm going to pray this prayer every single day. And just pray that they can, you know, whether that be for encouragement, whether that be for, you know, for growing in their love for other people, maybe that just be for general just strength getting through something. But whatever that is, who is somebody that the Holy Spirit is nudging you to pray that prayer over this week? So, and speaking of which, I want to pray for you as we kind of close out this first week. But I want to pray for you as we kind of continue on our worship together. So let me pray. Lord, we are just so thankful, God, that you love us, you care for us. Lord, thank you that you have a heart for us. But Lord, also just pray, God, we know that, Lord, you want us to be people that love others better, that care for others better. And Lord, that includes in how we pray for others. And Lord, each of us, Lord, that there is someone in our life, maybe just whole groups of people in our life that, Lord, we need to be praying for. Not out of a place of feeling better than, not out of a place of feeling like we are above them, that we have it all figured out. So, but Lord, pray that whether it's someone who knows Jesus, doesn't know Jesus, Lord, help us to be loving and caring in how we pray for them this week. Lord, move us, help us to be understanding of where we can grow in our prayer life. Lord, we know that we can all grow. Lord, we all know that we can have more tools in our toolbox in how we pray for others. So Lord, help us to be aware of how we can do that better. And Lord, for each person in this room, I pray that, God, maybe for those of us in this room, we need some encouragement. Maybe, Lord, we need the challenge to, maybe we've been holding on to some resentment that's kept us from allowing your love to overflow in our life. Lord, maybe for some of us, Lord, that maybe the challenge is we just need to pray more, Lord, that and that prayer has become kind of just something we do just when we know we have a need or someone else has a need. But Lord, maybe the challenge is for us to have regular times of praying for other people. But whatever that is, Holy Spirit, may we feel that nudge as we enter into this week. And God, we love you. Lord, we lift the rest of this time up to you, Lord, in your name. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. So while we're doing that, why don't you guys go ahead and stand.